This is the Top Agents Playbook podcast, episode number 7.
Welcome to the Top Agents Playbook podcast, your source for the very best tools, tips, and ideas used by real estate's top performers. Now here's your host, Ray Wood.
Well, hello everyone and welcome back. Today I have a very special interview. Richard Silver leads the Torontoism team at Sotheby's International Realty in Toronto, Canada. He consistently ranks in the top 1% of Toronto Real Estate Board's 40,000 members and is a co-founder of Toronto's Ari Barcamp TO. Good morning, Richard, and welcome.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Very well, thank you, and thanks so much for your time.
Pleasure. Richard,
can we start with RE Tech Talks, please?
Yeah.
And for anybody listening, the website, and you want to check it out, I've just had a look. It's full of awesome information and content. It's retechtalks.ca. Richard, the event looks amazing. And just so everybody knows, it's on May 4, 2015, which is a Monday at Daniel Spectrum in Regent Park. Can you tell us a little bit more about the day?
Yes. The people who are involved in setting this up and getting it all organized, and we're the ones who started RE Barcamp Toronto.
Okay.
And so that was about 5 years ago, and this will be our sixth year. And as we were looking back, we watched the process, the Barcamp, you know, growing and growing and growing. And originally there was a very strong tech focus to it. And we just found that over the years, we got a little bit too much into coaching. And so what we wanted to do is pull it back, narrow the focus, get it more about technology. And so that's where we're going to be spending the day. We're going to be spending the day dealing with technology, what's working, what's not working, how to help the members or the attendees. And we're just rebuilding what was RE Barcamp Toronto.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it sounds the website's full of great information, and I'd suggest anybody listening who has any interest in technology, and seriously, if you're in the real estate industry anywhere and you're not having a very close look at how you can leverage technology, you need to. And events like this one are tailor-made for you. Richard, how is this different to Inman? Because when I think of real estate and technology, Inman seems to have the high ground. How is this related?
Well, Inman is great, but this will be much more of a sharing rather than somebody standing up and being a talking head and telling you what they're doing. We're going to be asking you what's working, what's not working. We're going to be sharing with you what's working for us. And there's going to be a lot more interplay back and forth amongst the people involved. So it's not really going to be me talking about how I'm using Facebook. It's going to be me sharing with you and asking you questions and seeing what's work and Facebook ads and, you know, all sorts of things. It's not going to be it's not going to be set up where you cannot participate. It's going to be very participatory.
Okay, more kind of interactive and inclusive.
Yeah.
And I guess no pitching from stage. Am I right? If I can use that term,
no pitching whatsoever. No pitching. That's what we really want to stay away from. You know, the Barcamp. That's what it was originally supposed to be. And I guess we let it get away from us a bit, and it got too much into, you know, you sort of have a balance all the time of getting sponsors, and then the sponsors want more, and they want more, and so this way we've scaled it down. We're going back to 300 people. There's only 80 tickets left, as a matter of fact, as we speak.
Okay.
Tickets are going fast. We're not going to increase the number of people. We're keeping it to 300 people. And, you know, it's going to be very much more focused and, maybe more intense. I don't know. Maybe not as much fun and more business. I don't know. But hopefully it'll be a great learning experience for everybody.
Well, last year, RE Barcamp TO, I got so much out of it. I thought the content was exceptional. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you today was to learn more about your involvement with technology, because I know that you're a thought leader in the industry when it comes to that, which is pretty exciting, and you've got some great ideas. So I think people can learn so much from what you're offering and also the other speakers, and maybe we can talk about that in a minute. Can we talk about Richard Silver for a little bit?
Oh, yeah, sure. My favorite topic.
Okay. Tell me about your involvement with Sotheby's. I know you lead a team there, or Penny and yourself, of seven altogether.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about your journey into your present situation with Sotheby's?
Well, I became very interested in Sotheby's a couple of years back and made the decision to move to Sotheby's, basically because I had been working for years and years and years marketing my properties in Toronto. But more and more, I was realizing that there was a great percentage of buyers that were coming from outside of Toronto, and investors and people moving. And I wanted to give my listings a much more global focus. And so I looked around at what was happening, and I was so impressed by Sotheby's. It's very, very interesting. People ask me what it's like, and I said, well, it's like working for a marketing company that sells real estate as opposed to a real estate company.
Right. Right.
So their first and foremost subject is marketing, how to help the agents market their properties as much as possible around the world. And it's all set up for that. They have a wonderful back end that offers you tons and tons of opportunities and magazines and websites. And then it is really a global focus in the company. Once every 18 months, we have a great big event where they pull in, thousands of realtors from around the world. We all get together. We all get to meet each other. We all get to network. And it's probably more extensive than anything I've ever seen as far as networking. It's amazing. I'm constantly getting referrals from them. And they're of an international nature. So it's really very interesting.
I guess the thing I've already taken away in knowing you is that you would get these referrals because you're prepared to put yourself out there, and you do engage the real estate community. So it's not hard to know what it is that you're doing. Sotheby's is an awesome brand, and the mission is singular. Their marketing is exceptional, and they have a great name in the industry. Can I ask you locally? Torontoism, your agency within Sotheby's, I love that name. It's one word, and it says exactly what you do. Can I ask, Richard, your average sale price?
Well, that's increased now being at Sotheby's.
Okay.
I have to tell you, it has. It's not that I haven't let go of the lower end. I love working in that end, and it's obviously the timing is there's a lot more turnover at the higher end does take longer to sell.
Yes.
However, it's the same. It's pricing. It's the marketplace. It's knowing it. It's being able to, pick the right price. But yes, my average sale price has definitely increased. I don't know what it would even be now, but I can tell you that a couple of years ago, there was no way I would be selling $3.5 or $4.5 million houses. And now that is a little bit more of my clientele.
Yeah.
I got a lead from somebody who is going to send me a client who's just in the midst of selling their house for over $10 million, and I'm going to be looking for them for something else in Toronto. So, I mean, I'm not even sure what price range they're going to be looking in, but I would assume it's pretty high.
Well, the market in Toronto is very much a seller's market at the moment.
Yes.
It's red hot. Let me ask you, for my Australian listeners, are any properties being offered for sale by auction in the Toronto market?
There's one or two, and it has happened. There's a property, I think, that's being marketed up in the Bridal Path with an auction date.
Okay.
It's not the way they do it in I love the way you guys do it in Australia. It's amazing.
It's certainly not that common here, though, at the moment, is
it? No. And they've tried it. They tried it in the States about 7 or 8 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, and I watched what they were doing. It was Prudential was offering a couple of properties.
Yeah.
And it just didn't seem to take off. But, maybe all these multiple offers, maybe they are just another form of auction. They are a closed auction, I guess you can say.
I guess so.
Yeah, the deals are – it's not as if the price is open. Because our privacy laws. That's a big issue here.
I see. Yeah. Do you think, I was wondering as well, if auction has the stigma of like a forced sale or maybe the banks foreclosing and deciding it to auction, do you think the market perceives that a little bit as well?
They might. It'll be interesting to see what happens in this house in the bridal path, because they are asking, they've set sort of like a bid price for it. But it is, you know, it's in an end of the market where there has to be very, very few buyers, because it's very expensive. It's in the over $20 million, I believe, is what they're asking for it. So let's see what happens with it when it actually sells, if it sells. But I think the number of people who can buy at that price range is certainly limited. It's not as if it's a house that might be selling for $1 million in Toronto. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the time.
For those of you who are not familiar with Toronto, Richard's talking about Bridal Path, which is a very exclusive enclave or suburb in Toronto.
It's Toronto's Beverly Hills.
It certainly is. Yeah. It certainly is. And when you take a drive around, there's some amazing homes.
Yeah.
Richard, let me ask you, what's working for you at the moment? Where's your focus business-wise? How are you managing your time? I mean, I know there's so much going on and you seem to get so much done, but come back to my original question. What's working for you?
Well, you know what? First of all, I try just to keep as busy as possible, and I work on a lot of different things. I know that from history, whenever I've had 10 things I'm working on, I know that 3 of them will come together.
Right.
Whether it's it just takes time. Three of them in at one time. So I'm one of these people who works on a lot of different things. I look at what I do that other people don't do, and I can tell you that I spend a lot of time working with other agents and other agents who are not necessarily in my marketplace. So I do a lot of traveling with CREA. I go to conferences. I normally go to the NAR conference in the United States. They have 2 conferences. I go to Inman a lot, either in New York or in San Francisco. I go to ARIA conferences. As a matter of fact, we have one coming up in Chicago in a week and a half. And I'm lucky enough, I've been asked to speak at those conferences. So I talk about technology. I talk about, getting into the Chinese or the Asian market, what you need to do. I mean, that's a whole very, very interesting setup, because in China there is no Google, no Facebook, no Twitter, no LinkedIn. Or maybe LinkedIn exists, but there's an absolutely huge market there, and they want to buy in Canada, they want to buy in the United States, and accessing them is very, very difficult. You have to go, use technology like WeChat and WhatsApp, and you have to have your own, you have to have a website that is very easily accessed by the Chinese. So most of our websites have to be redone. You have to go to a hoster in China, and you have to rework the website, because they have crawlers. The government has crawlers that goes through every website. If you were looking on a normal Royal LePage or Sotheby's or whatever website, probably it would take you two to three minutes for one page to appear, because the crawlers go through to look for anything that might be controversial. So, I mean, but there's, you have to remember that there's a middle class in India, and then there's another middle class in China that is larger than the population of Canada and the United States.
Yeah, it's immense. It's enormous, isn't it?
It's enormous. And they're a little nervous. They want to get their money out. They look at us. We have property rights that are very, very strong. You buy a piece of property, and you can, as long as you pay your taxes, own it for life.
Of course.
In mainland China, you basically have 50 and or 70 years, and then at that time, the property automatically reverts back to the government.
Oh, it's like a leasehold.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a leasehold. And also, if you're in the way of them building a subway, they're going to build the subway, and you're going to have to move. So you don't have the the ability to fight the government as you might have in another country.
Wow.
I mean, you basically have to do, you know, they say we're putting a subway through here. They must look at Toronto and what we've gone through to extend the subways and laugh at us and just think, oh my God, it would take us 3 years to build a subway that's taking Toronto 20.
Yeah. Well, it's called a democracy, isn't it? I guess.
Yes. Yeah. But sometimes an oligarchy is not a bad thing, you know.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just teasing. I would not want to live in that kind of stress, but
it would be a challenge, especially when you're used to our lifestyle. Tell me
exactly. Just at City Hall, if we could have the gridlock at City Hall toned down, that would be wonderful.
How do you think Mayor Rob Ford would go in Beijing? Do you think he'd get stuff done?
When we were, when he was mayor of Toronto, I was in Beijing. I went to a conference, FIABSI, which is an international group, and we were in Taiwan. And of course, we decided we had to see Beijing. We had to see Shanghai. And, they all knew about him. They'd already heard about him. And they were, they knew about Toronto because of Mayor Rob Ford. And I don't think that's really a positive.
Well, I guess you would have let them know that all Canadians are not the same.
Exactly. But it was a little scary to be that far away, and the only thing they know about Toronto is Rob Ford. So.
Interesting. Well, yeah, I know he got plenty of news in Sydney and Melbourne as well. Tell me, your vice president, let's talk about the Asian connection just for a sec, because that interests me. Your vice president of the Toronto chapter of the Asian Real Estate Association of America. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? I know you've got an event coming up.
Yeah, we have. What we've tried to do is Asian Real Estate Association of America has been very popular. It started years ago in the United States, and it's been growing. Vancouver, we're the second chapter now. Vancouver had a big chapter, and they have events, major events, 3 or 4 times a year. We're trying to get up and running. We had a wonderful event about a month ago. We had dim sum, to celebrate the New Year's. We had some, performers. We had some people talking about ARIA and what ARIA did. And then we have another event coming up at April the 30th, and we're going to be out in Brampton and spending a lot of time with the Sikh Hindu culture. There'll be a little bit of discussion of culture, but also some performers as well, Rebecca Mountain, who some of you may know as somebody who's very into technology. So yes. she's going to be speaking as well.
Awesome. Okay, well, maybe you could send me a link or a little bit more information and I could show it on the show notes.
Yeah. ARIA, A-R-E-A-A.
Yep.
And .org is the group. So if you want to join, it's $100 for the year to join. We do these events. You're on the mailing list. Plus, one of the great things is a lot of us are heading over. We're going to Chicago in the middle of April, so a couple of weeks from now. Uh-huh. And actually 2 weeks from now, I think we'll be in Chicago. And ARIA is having a global summit.
Wow.
And that'll be people probably, I think so far they've got about 700 or 800 people from all over the world, people dealing with the Asian community, whether it's developers or mortgage people or real estate from all sorts of different companies. And you learn more and more about how business is done in Asia, what you need to do, how you need to guide clients who are, your clients from Canada who are looking to buy in Asia, but also Asian clients, how you can direct them into, what are their options when they come here, whether they want to buy or whether they are in the process of immigrating to Canada.
Okay. Well, I'd love to post that information and people can check that out.
And the good news is you don't have to be Asian.
Okay. Well,
I mean, it's you have to want to work in the community and to be able to advise people better. And so, as you can imagine, I'm not, well, I guess in my part of my background is from Russia, which is part of Asia, but
right.
But it's very interesting. Lots of things to learn, and lots of very interesting people, and a huge market out there.
Sounds like a great opportunity for agents to get out there and reach out and connect. Let me just rewind back to what you're doing. What would a typical day look like for you? Is there such thing? Okay, I'm sort of more interested in. My favorite thing at the moment is time management. How do I get more time out of every day? And you alluded before that you try 10 things, and if you get 3 things done, it's a victory. Tell me a little bit about your day.
Well, no, I mean, I do get all 10 things done eventually,
right.
But I'm more talking about, you know, 3 things that, you know, you can focus on. No, my day, first of all, I've outsourced sleep.
Really?
Yeah, which is a big thing. No, I do. I'm a very good sleeper.
I think you're pulling my leg.
Yeah, I am. I get my 6.5 or 7 or 8 hours every night, and I'm just one of those people who thinks it's very important.
I heard Arnold Schwarzenegger say recently that you only need 6 hours sleep. If you need more, then sleep faster.
Yeah, exactly. it sounds like something he would say. Well, you know, I don't know if you know, but Arianna Huffington is very much into, you know, getting the proper sleep, making sure that, you know, at 10 o'clock at night, your cell phone goes off. You don't sleep with your cell phone by the bed.
Right.
And you turn your phones off and you go and you get a proper rest.
Yes.
And, you know, I think she's right. I think then you can be very, very, very efficient. Well, what I do, I wake up in the morning and I first thing I do is have a coffee, of course. But then after that, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I go for a long 45-minute walk. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. So I exercise, come back, I do my emails. I do work from home. I do have an assistant who works in the office, but we all basically in our team telecommute. Penny and I are really the lead. We're the ones who are the rainmakers as much as possible. I mean, the others are great agents, but Penny and I are the ones who we have because of our history, have a long, you know, we each have 30 plus years in the business.
Yes.
So we have a lot of clients. And what happens with the others, everybody has their niche. Toronto is a very diverse market. We have lots of houses. We have, you know, lots of different, you know, condos. And keeping up with the condo market can be a chore in itself. So we have two of our buyer agents who spend a lot of time in the condo market. They understand what's going on. We have one who has a bit of more of a focus on country properties, and we've just brought somebody onto the team who is speaks Mandarin.
Okay,
and so
that lines up with what we were just talking about. Yeah, obviously. That's interesting.
Yeah, she and I are planning to go to Hong Kong for the Sotheby's auction in October.
Right.
And then we'll go to Beijing, Shanghai, and Taiwan and meet with agents there and talk to them about Toronto and hope to be their Toronto contact. So, you know, the interesting thing about when you're dealing with international buyers is, just a little aside, you really have to have a big team behind you in terms of, you know, you have to know who the lawyers are, who the immigration people are, who the bankers are, people who can help facilitate the sales.
Right.
And that's really important. It's not that people come to you not just as a realtor. They want to know, you know, schools are very important. So you have to have you know, people you can phone who can put them in the right place when they're looking for schools and universities. And
so you're like a conduit, really. They're wanting to tap into your resources as well.
Exactly.
I never thought about that. That's interesting.
A friend of mine calls me, says in real estate today, you have to be the source of the source, but not the source.
Okay.
In other words,
I get that.
Yeah. Well, you can tell people, you know, here's where you can find the best person to help you with schools, but don't sit there and, you know, pontificate about the schools and the pluses and minuses. Help people find the expert.
Yeah, with your connections. Well, I guess that's just the extension of what good agency has been from day one, really.
Exactly. And you know what? A lot of times I see agents. We were talking about it in a meeting this morning. I was up at the office, and we do what we call a mastermind, where we all sit around and sort of share information. And
yes.
Oftentimes I hear agents, and they're getting way over their head in stuff that has nothing to do with the marketing and the sale of the property.
Yeah.
You know, they're acting for the seller, dealing with, dealing with tenants. Well, you don't have a legal leg in that. You don't have a legal place in that.
Yeah.
It's the seller has to communicate with the tenants. Your job is not to communicate with the tenants except for showings, but to get into discussion with them about their lease and, you know, notices and everything. That really is the I mean, it's nice to help out the seller. But a lot of times you have to pull back and say, you know what, am I just going to get myself into trouble because I don't have a legal position in this?
It's interesting you say that, because I think so many agents spend what I call so much time in the thick of thin things, in the wrong areas.
Exactly.
And that leads me to my next question that I'd love your feedback on.
Sure.
Why do so many agents struggle? You know, they talk about the 80-20 rule. It's probably more like the 90-10 rule. Why do so many agents spin their wheels and just really struggle month to month and year to year when the others just scream away and enjoy so much success? What's the diff?
Well, I think what you have to realize is that it isn't, you know, I've had many people come up to me and say, oh, Richard, you're so lucky you do this and this and this. You're so lucky. And I go, you know, there's that old saying about the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Yeah.
But it's more about being very, very consistent. This business is filled with hills and valleys. Try to be the person who just stays, you know, at the same level all the time. In other words, keep working hard. And know that there's going to be times when the market is going to be great and there's going to be times when the market is going to be slow. Do not get caught up in a whole emotional roller coaster when it's high and when it's low, and just, you know, this is what I do. This is what I do every day. And this is how I'm going to increase my business.
Okay.
And I think that's the hardest thing. It's not about being a star all the time. It's being consistent. And setting yourself, you know, this is what I have to do to make more money and to make more business, and I'm just going to keep on doing it,
okay.
You know, whether it's a good day or it's a bad day, or it is being consistent.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you say that. What do you think, and I guess on the tail of that question, if you were starting in real estate at the moment, and you know what you know now, but you didn't have the connections. Say you moved to Chicago tomorrow.
See, when I started, I mean, you're asking me a question that I can tell you exactly. When
okay,
I started,
okay.
I came from an arts background. I had not lived in Toronto. I lived in originally Edmonton. I went to school in the States. Then I moved to Montreal. Then all of a sudden, after a couple of years back working here, and I was in the arts in Toronto, I decided I'd always been interested in housing. I wanted to buy a house, so I was on a break from performing, and what I did was I just thought, okay, I'm going to take the real estate course, and I did. And what I did, and what I would tell everybody to do, is put your head down and work for 2 years straight out, full out, as much as you can.
Right.
Make as many contacts as you can, do as many open houses as you can, find out what works. Door knocking and cold calling just wasn't me, but I had quite a bit of success when I would do an open house. So I was doing open houses every weekend.
Right.
If they were my open houses, fine. If they weren't my open houses, I was happy to sit them for other people. And, that's what I would do. Don't bother watching how it somebody else is. Everybody else has their, you know, sometimes people will do really good at the beginning and then they'll go into a bit of a slump. But if you can just put your head down and work really hard for the first 2 years, don't analyze too much. Just, you know, keep a plan. Make sure that you have a plan. I would, you know, find out what works for you, whether it's door knocking, open houses, cold calling, internet marketing, whatever it is, stick to that plan and develop it as much as possible.
And the point you made is to make plenty of contacts and keep
exactly.
in touch with people.
Keep in touch. That is the biggest thing. Whether you're doing email newsletters, what's happened with me is my database has become so big. I can't. It's physically daunting. So I've actually hired a third party. She and I write blogs, and then we post them, and she looks after the website, and she creates a newsletter. And there's this, you know, basically what I used to do hands-on, I needed help with. So she took it over, and she and the company that that does it, and they do everything. And I, you know, I give them topics. We do meetings where we talk about what we want to talk about, and you know, how we're going to get into the community and get ourselves visibility. And yeah, it works out wonderfully. It really does.
Okay.
It really does.
Well, thank you for that. I was just interested from your perspective, and I'm sure so many people listening to this, witnessing your success. And like I said, you're a thought leader in our industry, and people do look for you for answers, whether you want that want that mantle or not. But maybe with avenues like this, we can reach out to people and help.
There's no easy answer, and
of course,
the thing I can that I would say separates what I do is I try to stay focused on what my core is.
Yeah.
So I know I'm not a commercial realtor, so I'll do residential. You know, if you ask me what a, you know, how to figure out the dollars and cents of a commercial property, I'm totally lost. I couldn't guide you in any way, shape, or form whatsoever. But I do keep track of what's happening in the residential market, and I think that's, you know, I try and stay as focused as possible. I mean, I think at the beginning you need to diversify, you need to try everything, but when you find something that's working, stick to it and develop it.
When you find that sweet spot, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think it's an issue that, talking about distractions and focus, do you think it's an issue that, that so many agents travel far and wide for listings rather than focusing on a specific area?
Well, yes and no. It depends. Like, I'm very well known as a Cabbage Town agent, and but I can tell you that in the past couple of years, for some reason, Cabbage Town has not had a lot of turnover, and that'll happen in certain. You know, if I had to depend on Cabbage Town, I'd be in the. You know, I would never have, you know, been paying my mortgage in the past
couple
of years. But because there hasn't been a lot of turnover, and sometimes that happens. I think it's more. Like right now, as a Sotheby's agent, I have some properties in Caledon, and it's just that it seems to be the similar buyer. It's more who's the buyer, who's the seller, and it may take me afield physically, but there seems to be a synchronicity between the same buyer, somebody who's going to buy in the city or maybe buy in the country. It's just, you know, something that people go through. They want to be downtown, and then all of a sudden, especially these days with people telecommuting, they're sort of going, well, you know, it doesn't really matter if I live in downtown Toronto and have a, a small lot, or I can move out to Caledon and have, you know, 7-8 acres on a ravine. Beautiful views, and you know, and I can work from there.
Well, that's doable now. Where I guess, you know, 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago, it was something of a struggle.
Yeah. But, and it is changing, and that's one of the things you have to be aware of. So, yes, I mean, at the moment, I have listings, a lot of listings all over the place, and the only thing you have to know is you get into the countryside, and the countryside listings do take longer.
But
they do take longer to sell, so.
But in fairness as well, you also have the team that can help you manage that. It's not
exactly.
Like you're doing it all yourself.
No. It's not. But it's and everybody, as I said, has their specialty. You know, one of my people is very, she has lived and worked out in the Niagara region. And, you know, so she has a farm out there, and we did a deal last month of a farm out there. And so, I mean, everybody has their own strengths.
Okay. Let's talk about your favorite subject in the world, technology.
Yes.
And my first question is a bit of a no-brainer, I guess, and you and I could talk about this for the rest of the day. How is technology changing real estate, and where is it heading?
Well, you have to remember when you're talking to me that I'm basically a senior citizen. So
think that's true, Richard.
Oh, it is. So, but I can go back real estate 35 years ago, and there was no technology. I mean, technology was a pen and a piece of paper.
Yes.
We actually, when I started, Selectric typewriters were a big thing. That was technology. So obviously, fast forward 35 years, and there's a lot of technology around. You know, the thing for a more seasoned agent is a lot of seasoned agents find technology very intimidating, and they have to just get over it. You can't break it. Just use it. Don't be afraid of it. So jump into technology. It's not going to kill you. The other thing is it's making our lives simpler. However, response time is really important, and a lot of realtors don't get that. They used to think, I can't talk to that person tonight. I'll talk to them tomorrow.
Well, it's not even tonight or tomorrow. It's immediate. People are expecting an immediate response almost.
I know.
How do we handle that?
Well, you have to respond as soon as possible. So you need all the technology. You need the iPhone, the iPad. Even when you're going away on holiday, you have to choose a hotel that has wireless.
Yeah.
I would love to go and spend some time on a beach that has absolutely no communication. But it's not realistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not realistic for me to go there.
It's the changing nature of our industry, really, isn't it? And competing, because if they can't get a response from you, they'll find one of your competitors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as we've been talking on the phone, talking now, I've probably lost 15 clients. No, I'm just teasing.
Making me feel really guilty.
Yeah, no. But no, the response time is definitely very, very important. And also, you have to be into technology. I see a lot of agents running around getting things signed when, it can be done with DocuSign. It can be done with document management. There's a lot more options that agents have these days.
Yeah, there are so many options, and I find so few agents in our industry are aware of them. Which, speaking of that, which tech features do you think sellers are expecting from their agent? And I'll come back to that as well, because I want to. I was interviewing Peter Brewer, who's a mate of mine from Brisbane.
Sure, I know Peter.
You know Peter?
Well, yeah.
And Peter talks about, what does your digital twin look like? In other words, you've got this successful business offline,
right,
and you're doing all of these great marketing things, and your offline marketing's good, newspapers, signs, etc. But what does your digital marketing or your digital twin or online marketing look like? Yeah. So I guess with that in mind, my question is, what tech features do sellers want from their agent nowadays?
Well, I think
what do they expect?
I think they want a lot of visibility, and I think the visibility for their properties, to me, they expect, well, I expect, I when I go and I look on a listing and I see that there's not full photos, there's, three photos when there could have been 20 photos, where the photos are not professionally done, that kind of visibility I think is really important. So high-definition photos, as many photos as you can, video, high-definition video of the property. I think people, that's an expectation, and I think floor plans are certainly an expectation of people. Floor plans allow the buyer to engage and find out, take ownership of the property.
Yeah, And we've been doing those in Australia for probably 40 years, and I'm so surprised that agents here don't do them.
I do them on every listing, and I have for probably 15 years. Yeah. I've, every single listing I do, high-definition photos, I do floor plans. I'm using recently, I've done a couple of listings where we've actually used a Matterport. Now, I'm sure, have you seen the Matterport? I'm not really sure. It's basically, if I was to make it a very quick explanation, it's Google, Google Street View,
right,
but it's for a house.
Wow.
So in other words, you can move the technology. It's 3D technology, but
what?
you can walk through the house. Yeah, if you go to my website, which is Torontoism,
okay,
and you check, you'll see a story that I recently did about a Matterport photograph property. And we sent it out on a newsletter. A client called us. She fell in love with it. We took her to see it, and she bought it.
How amazing!
And basically, I don't know that the Matterport was the only thing that sold, but it certainly did help. you know, and it gives you a 3D vision, and you can walk through the property. So especially if you have somebody who's an out of town, or you have a husband who's seen the house and the wife is in the Far East or in Europe, you can, you know, share it with the other person very easily online.
That's amazing. And everybody's so time poor, so they're going to really be jumping for features like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And those are the things I think that put you above somebody else, you know, the justify maybe your commission or justify why they should use you. And I think those are really important features that and you can add all the time. So I'm always on the lookout for hearing about new things, about new technology, using it. And then of course, communication is key. So anything that's going to get me in front of the consumer more often, I do a lot of blogging. I write about technology. I write about things to do with the home. And I write about my favorite subject, which is food.
Yes, I noticed. And more recently, a little restaurant called Under the Table.
Yeah, Under the Table. It's great. It's just over on Parliament Street.
Eggs Benedict, apparently.
Yeah. There's wonderful places all over the city, and everybody loves to discuss food. So
that's true.
All you have to do is look at me. I fight that weight thing, you know. You know, when I have a client who jumps up and down and says, I want to have $1 million for the property, I look at them very seriously, and I say, yes, and I want to have a 28-inch waist. And I don't think either one of us are going to get what we want, but we're going to try and do our best.
That's a nice segue into social media. I want to talk a little bit about that, because I get questions daily through this podcast and Top Agents Playbook. Do I need a Twitter account? Do I need Facebook? Should I be looking at LinkedIn? A dozen other questions. I know this is a moving target.
No, but here's.
But what's your strategy?
Here's my strategy is this. I talk about the wheel and the spoke, or the hub and the spoke.
Okay.
And my hub is my website, which has blogs. It has information about my properties that I have for sale, and it also has an IDX, so people can search other properties that are on the Toronto Real Estate Board or on Realtor.ca. And so people can go to my website. They can see all that information there. Now, I use Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube. I use those technology, those social media, to drive people to my website. In other words, I wouldn't cut and paste an article about the Matterport on Facebook. Okay. What I would do is I would write the article about Matterport on my website, and then on Facebook, I just create a link and say, here's some interesting technology, take a look at it. And then I get a lot of shares of that information if people like it. And the more shares you get, the more visibility you get for your website. And as you build the visibility, then you start coming up higher in the search engines. So I basically use social media to drive people to my website.
Richard, thank you so much for your time. Before you go, tell us a little bit more about RE Tech Talks, and I'm going to put the link up on the site, as I said. Just tell us a little bit about the day and maybe some of your speakers. What sort of content? What can we expect?
Well, basically, the speakers are right now that we're showing are the people who have been organizing the event.
Okay.
And everybody comes from different backgrounds. Brad Sage is at Sage Real Estate. He's the vice president. He is very much a tech guy. He's not necessarily a realtor, although his family is involved in real estate. Melanie Piche. Has been heading up the Brell team. She has got a great background in social media and blogging and website. They have an amazing website. We've worked together. Shirley Porter, I worked together for years. She works with Ken Goodfellow Coaching, and she also works with Daryl King, who has a huge team. Brendan and Melanie are a couple, and they work together. And Ara Marmourian, who is he has a company called Spring Realty, and they're based in Leslieville, and they spend a lot of time talking about content. And He's just he's an amazing realtor. He's a very good speaker, and he's very good. I mean, I think the key is that all of us are going to try as much as possible to get the best out of the people who are there and who are joining us in the conversation. It's RE Tech Talks is basically, you know, it's a lot of conversations that are going to be going on. And so we're going to try and have, you know, we have six spaces, and the space is amazing. The Daniels Spectrum, if those of you haven't been to the Daniels building, or it's part of the Artscape, which, you know, developers have set up throughout Toronto. It's yes. amazing. Yep. It's an amazing project. Which allows people to involve themselves in the arts, and it's a wonderful place to be. We're going to have great food all day. Lunch will be served, and tickets are $50, and you can get them online, and they are running out, so make sure you do that as soon as possible.
Well, that's a bargain, I think. I'm just looking at the website at the moment. There's just about a month to go. Only 80 yeah. tickets left at $50. It's a great deal.
Yeah.
I would say, with a technology focus for our industry, it's probably the standout event of the year. Anybody listening to this, drop whatever you're doing, grab a ticket while you can, get along. You'll get to meet Richard and these other guys, and I just think there's so much awesome content. And it's probably, yeah. Richard, one of those things you're going to get out of it what you put into it. And
exactly.
I noticed the people
exactly.
on those days, the interaction is awesome, and there's so much that comes out of it. So
I think the biggest reality is that there is no right answer and no wrong answer. What you're going to get is people's opinions from working with the technology, and you're going to get some helpful hints and maybe, you know, just another idea. I mean, every time I go to an event like this, I learn things. And people say, well, what are you going to learn? You've been doing this for years. And I just say, you know what? Somebody does something a little bit different with the same technology, and all of a sudden, you know, this whole, you know, aha moment opens up, and you think, oh, yeah, well, that's what that's about. And so I think you'll have a lot of aha moments.
I bet. And it's the sort of event that you're going to be able to take away things that you can start using that very day, put them in
yes.
place. And, you know,
yeah.
like even one tiny part of it, like social media strategies, there's so much that people don't know about that they can be doing. So, like I said, I could talk about it all day. Richard, thank you so much for your time. I know you're a busy guy. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing you at RE Tech Talks.
It'll be great to see you there. Thanks, Ray.
I don't think I can emphasize enough just how important it is for real estate professionals to get more involved with technology. There was a time when agents in Toronto had to travel far and wide to learn and understand the stunning changes happening in IT and the way it's affecting our industry. But the good news is, if you live in Toronto, real estate technology is coming to you. I have no doubt this event will sell out well before May 4, so do yourself a favour and grab your pass today at retechtalks.ca. This is a brilliant environment to learn from fellow agents and take away the things you need to boost your personal brand and make your business hum in the year ahead.
You've been listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast. For show notes from this episode, recent podcasts, and lots more, go to topagentsplaybook.com.